Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all and everyone. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to
God. You know, thinking about the children a while ago as they were anticipating what might be in the package and thinking about a party and following that cake. Man, I thought about when I was younger, before my birthday. It was always right after school was out, June the 2nd. It's just, yes, it's right around the corner. And I would always look for this package that was bound and guaranteed to come on the day of my birthday. And every year I would open it up, and it was from my godmother. Now, I thought I was really special to have a godmother. When I was very, very young, I thought it was my fairy godmother, and she had the white hair and everything but the wand. But I would go to the mailbox and get this from my godmother, and it was a piece of silver. Now, as a child, a silver spoon or a silver fork or something like that, it's not just a real thrilling gift to get in the mail. And Mother would always say, well, I know that you don't appreciate it now, but one day you will. And wasn't that sweet of her to remember you? Yes. Where were the toys? Today we not only celebrate the graduation of our seniors, but we also celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit given at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, over 2,000 years ago, 50 days after Jesus arose from the grave, picture this. The disciples are huddled in a dark, closed room, gathered together because, yes, Jesus has appeared to one or two of them. Yes, he has. But they didn't know if he was going to be back. And there they are, thinking that they're out on their own, running away from danger and persecution, hiding from it, like fugitives. That's what they felt like. And as they are huddled in that room, in comes this loud gust of a wind, and Jesus right before them. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Wow. The gift that Jesus had promised them had finally arrived, and they began to recall some of the things that he had said. Found in the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, Jesus said, I will send the Counselor to you, and when he comes, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you, anything. And then Mark 13, do not be anxious, for whatever it is that is given you, speak it. For it is the Holy Spirit within you speaking. Jesus had made good on his promise. He had given them the gift. They had opened the promise present, and now the party began in loud speaking. And as Sherry talked to the children, and they were talking about all kinds of languages, but they were able to understand each other. And they looked around, and they sensed the Spirit. They sense the Spirit. Have you ever sensed the Spirit? Have you ever felt it? Has it ever been real to you? But there they were. All this loudness. Happy, happy dance. And then suddenly they felt a burning. Not the kind that hurt the skin, but a warmth. As if tongues of flames were resting upon their shoulders. They were in ecstasy, a different kind than we hear about today. Not the kind that can harm the body, but the kind that's good for the soul. And then we think about a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a learned man. In fact, he was a member of the Jewish council, highly esteemed, and he was very curious about Jesus. But he had this position that he couldn't endanger. So what did he do? He came and stole through the night and found Jesus. And he just asked it. He just laid it out there on the table. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said very simply, "You have to be born again." And again, a learned man, he knew he couldn't be physically birthed from his mother, so he began to prod and ask, "What do you mean?" And Jesus basically said, "Only those who want to pursue the world are concerned about the flesh. If you want to have a greater power of the Spirit, then you must be born of that Spirit." And Jesus began to talk about faith. And then if you read the Gospel of John, John's got a fascination with light and darkness. And he uses this imagery that Jesus had lifted to him so many times. And he said, if you're going to be holy, if you're going to be spiritual, if you're going to really embrace this power that is available to you, you got to focus on the light. And when you're focused on the light, then suddenly you say things that you're not concerned about being revealed. And you start doing things that you're not worried about people seeing. But he said, if you're focused on the sin and of the world, then suddenly you find yourself saying and doing things, ooh, you're ashamed of, or ooh, you wish somebody hadn't heard that, or ooh, you wish they hadn't seen it. Believers want the light because they're not afraid of what they say or what they do, and the impact it leaves upon others. In our scripture reading today, the word of the Lord says, we are all given different gifts, but the same Spirit. And these gifts are to honor God in service to Him as He inspires those gifts. Yesterday, I was inspired. I met a young African-American minister. He's also a biology teacher. And we began to visit and talk about ministry as we were scooping the rice. And we had some other members of the church that said we were having way too much fun. And we were swapping stories and having a good time. But you see, we were filled with the Spirit. We were excited to know that what little bit of time we were giving and what little bit of energy we were giving was going to actually help somebody. I mean, when I'm doing this on the phone all the time, it's usually about me. If I'm there at the desk and doing my things, it's because I've got a list I've got to check off and do my things. Here I was giving time and helping, and it was so minimal. But then when he said all of our efforts together as one was going to feed 57,000 people, well, my fun just went out the roof. Wow. You're awesome, God. You're awesome. And again, all over the board yesterday, here in the Wilson Activity Center, what they were putting together, there as they were helping to glean supplies for the Habitat for Humanity, and there giving warm food to cold, forgotten souls, perhaps. Changed the world, a great phrase. Our graduates are going to pursue a higher education. And they're going to gain some great life experience because life experience, as we all know, is a great teacher. I was reading something that was just caught my eye about a man named Friar Lawrence, 16th century monk. His writings are still around today. Did he write about something that had a great shift in the way that humanity thinks? No. Did he write eloquently? No. He just wrote about some menial task that became his higher calling. And you know what it was? A dishwasher. Friar Lawrence was a dishwasher in a monastery. And he didn't focus on the fact that it was such a menial task and he really wasn't this eloquent choir member or eloquent leader in the church or any of those other things that he saw some of the other monks being claimed and called to do and gifted to do, but he was proud of what he was and what he did, because monks had to eat and dishes had to be cleaned. And he understood that he was a part of the overall wonderful function of a monastery. I believe that'll preach, church. I believe today we are gathered on this Pentecost, receiving the Holy Spirit given to the disciples so long ago, but understanding we are the disciples and we have the Holy Spirit available. And if you don't feel it, you have to ask why. Are you asking for it? Are you truly focused and asking the Lord to give it to you? And then once you've got it, what are you going to do with it? The flame of the Spirit resting upon all disciples, that we may go forward and transform the world by the power of His love, by an encouraging word, compassion. You know, as United Methodists, we observe seasons in the church calendar. Advent, those 4 weeks before Christmas Day. Lent, those 7 weeks before Easter Day. And then Pentecost, that begins on this Sunday and runs through the summer. But you see, what I want to share today is Pentecost is not a season. Pentecost is not a day. Pentecost is a gift. A gift that is called to be opened afresh every single morning. The Lord gives you to wake up and to take. Pentecost is a frame of mind. Pentecost is a state of heart. Somebody needs to call 911. Asbury's on fire. Wouldn't that be great? In my eyes and in my heart, somebody needs to call 911. This church is aflame in this moment of the Holy Spirit. If you feel that, amen. Amen. I hear people sometimes say, I'm just not gifted. You better get somebody else to do it. I'd like to try it, but you know, I'll probably fail. I think those persons perhaps have not found the gifts that God has blessed them with. They've not quite yet discovered it, but they are there. I've experienced some of your gifts. Some of you listen. Some of you share compassion. Some of you are dedicated and show up for rehearsal Thursday in and Thursday out, week after week, year after year, to lead this body in wonderful praise worship. Amen. Or those that prepare the coffee, or those that teach the children, or those that design the altar. On and on and on it goes. People sharing of themselves and knowing that God will bless it. I think about our graduates. And just to name a few, I think about Leah Gillet and how she was all over the place, the rehearsal and the night of Asbury's Got Talent, assisting Larry Grace and making sure that all the mics and all the props and everything was in place. And she did that. And everybody that came to that show saw that it ran smoothly. Leah stepped up with her gift. Many a Sunday, Vincent McNerlin comes forward and helps out with either the screens or the sound and whatever's needed. And that's a gift, and we're thankful. And oh my goodness, if you haven't heard Cameron Mattson play the saxophone, you have missed a gift. He has such skillful talent. And those are just to name a few. Our seniors are going to be missed as they have participated and lent beautiful gifts to the life of this church. And their slate is clean as they embark on this new journey. But I'd like to invite the church to think about that every morning our slate is clean. I love the verse in Jeremiah where God says, "And I will remember your sins no more." Thank you, Jesus. Wiping the slate clean There are those today who are embarking on a new journey in some moment of their life. The slate is clean. All of us every morning have that opportunity. Stepping out into uncharted territory of whatever that may be. A decision that's got to be made. A place that's got to have presence. Our presence. Whatever it is, it's there. And we go in prayer and we seek for what it is. For you should always follow your heart, but you got to take your brain with you. For never let us succeed so much so that it takes over our lives, but never should we focus on failure to let it take over our heart. The seniors and all of us embark on a new opportunity every single day through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I claim this scripture and present it to each and every one of you from 2 Corinthians 5. The old is past. The new has come. For each who give their lives to Christ, God delights in it when we repent. God delights in working up something new. I mean, He's in the creation business. One day, Jesus was doing His thing. He was ministering to those that would hear. And as He walked along, He just happened to look up, and there was a man. He was sitting in a tree. His name was Zacchaeus. And the reason he was up a tree, because he was so short, he had heard about this Jesus, and he wanted to check Him out, and he couldn't see over the crowds. And Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, and you know what He saw? He saw a man who desired a change. He saw a man desperate to start over. And Zacchaeus, what did he see in himself? He saw a man he no longer wanted to be. He saw a man who was tired of pretending. He saw a man who was tired of cheating. He saw a man who was tired of being mean and hurtful and disrespectful. He saw a man who needed another man named Jesus. And upon confession to Jesus in his own home, Zacchaeus promised to restore all that he had taken from anyone. And Jesus affirmed his decision to repent. And don't you know, with a voice and a lift of hallelujah, He said, "Zacchaeus, salvation has come to this house today." There's no way that your senior pastor can know what each and every one of you is going through, or what you're feeling, or what you're needing, unless one by one you were to come and to share that with me. But there is one who is greater, who can do far more than I can do, that is listening. Is there something in your life you're tired of doing? Tired of being?
And still no silver.
Maybe I can't send you to jail for what you wrote, but I can send you for being a thief.
I know something about you, don't you forget that. But what you may say is there's a lot of time to write letters in jail. Plenty of time to write the truth about you. Then the paper's free.
Nobody would believe what you wrote.
I don't know. I've been told I'm a pretty good writer, already sold a lot of books.
Call the police, Elizabeth.
All you do is scam, lie to try to get what you want.
Evelyn, stop.
You are a godless woman. Ain't you tired, Miss Haley? Ain't you tired?
That, of course, is a scene from the movie The Help. Hilly Holbrook had gone through life getting what she wanted through intimidation, through bullying, but not through righteousness. Believing that her life was hers for the making. She clawed her way to the top of the pile on the backs of others, and she thought she did it, rightfully so. It's something that we can all easily mistake, even if we shroud it in saying, but it's for the overall good. Righteousness never comes through force. Not as a parent, not as a teacher, not as a leader. A bully's tactics can never be used for kingdom outcomes. When we are convinced of who we really are in Christ, the other stuff is so far less important. On this Pentecost Sunday, when we also have celebrated and recognized our seniors, it's good to remember the greatest graduation gift that they will ever be given, that you and I can ever be given, is that of the Holy Spirit. It's not elusive. It's not imaginative. It's not something that was just given and available 2,000 years ago. It is available now, and we're scared of it. And Jesus wonders why. Because it's like we're saying we're scared of Him. Because He said, I can't no longer be with you physically on this earth and be and touch all the lives that I need to touch. So I'm sending you the Comforter. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. And He doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to invite Him into our lives, so that the Spirit can not only guide our seniors in their decision making, but can guide each and every one of us every day for the rest of our journey. May we wake up and open Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'd invite our celebration singers and leaders to come forward now as we prepare to sing our closing song. And if there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, if you'd like to come forward and profess Jesus Christ, you know Him is real, you want to embrace that Holy Spirit, we invite you to do so. Or if you need to come forward and to pray, please do so, and just lift your hand if you'd like for me to pray with you. Let us be standing as we sing.
A passion for your name,
Praise God. Church, I want you to meet John Gentry. He is a fine fella. He's even finer because he's making the decision today to join Asbury United Methodist Church.
Amen.
And he comes to us by transfer from First Baptist Church in Searcy. But he lives here in Little Rock. He's not one of the Searcy ones that keeps driving. He actually lives here, and we're proud. But he has an entire entourage here with him. And I know that they'll want to greet him as well. But John, because you do come from another denomination, we just offer this one vow to you of the United Methodist Church. Will you honor Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior by your vows of the United Methodist Church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
Yes,
he said, yes, ma'am. He makes a great member already. So I know that you'll want to greet John in just a moment. Please receive the benediction. And now, God, we thank you so much for this day, for it is truly a gift to be opened and to be enjoyed and to be shared. And so, Father, now that you have given us your Holy Spirit, may we go forward not only on this day, but forevermore in the peace of that Spirit and in the direction and guidance of it, that we may share Jesus with the world in his holy name. Amen. Okay, come on this way so everybody can meet you.